Gary Moore speaking.
Hello, Junior. This is Jimmy.
Jimmy Durante, where are you?
I knocked over a salt shaker, so all the way down to the studio, I've been throwing salt on my shoulder. And boy, am I burnt up.
Why?
A Scotsman keeps following me with a hard-boiled egg.
Here's the Comedy Caravan starring Jimmy Durante and Gary Moore, with music by Roy Bargy and his orchestra, and songs by George Gibb. Roy Bargy in the orchestra now, and a Roy Bargy arrangement of South American Way. For our co-star. In any discussion of the great comedians of our time, the name of Gary Moore is sure to be brought up. And here is the man who is sure to bring it up, Gary Moore.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much, Howard. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen.
Gary, will you lend me $5?
As I was saying, friends, spring will be a little late this year. Held up by a traffic light in Azusa, I guess. I don't know.
Listen, I'm not kidding, Gary. Could you lend me $5 for a weak old man?
Howard, don't be silly. What would a weak old man want with $5? But anyway, sunk or not, it is good to be back in California. Don't you think so, Howard? Well, I was just...
Oh, there you are, Mr. Moore, you scrumptious little man.
Mrs. Wordle, welcome. You look marvelous tonight. But aren't you wearing your skirt pretty short?
Suppose I am. I have a perfect right.
I know, but your left one's got a curve in it.
Well, Mr. Moore, I like this dress. And after all, I choose my clothes.
You what?
I choose my clothes.
Oh, that's funny. I have a moth who chews mine. Oh, Mother, tie your mittens on. I'm pulling them off tonight. But come now, Mrs. Wertlebertle. This can't be the only reason for your visit tonight. You must have something up your sleeve besides that wrinkled elbow.
Yes, Mr. Moore, I came to congratulate you on acquiring a new sponsor, even though I can't understand it.
Well, my dear little sunflower, and I use the word sunflower in reference to your seedy appearance. I have I have a new sponsor because I know how to make people laugh. You just name one person on the radio who gets more laughs than I do.
Fibber McGee, Gracie Allen, Jack Benny, Fred Allen, Charlie McCarthy, Bob Hope, Bob Burns, Danny Kaye, Jack Carson, Al Pierce, and Groucho Marx.
Is that all you can think of?
Yes.
Stumped you, didn't I? Besides, Mrs. Wertleberg, that's not fair. I said name one comedian and you named 10 comedians.
Now, look, you asked me to name someone who got more laughs than you, and I did. Touché?
How do you like that? Now she's naming French comedians. Let's skip the whole thing, Mrs. Wertlebertle. Let's skip the whole thing and bring on my favorite comedian, the one and only Jimmy Durante, in person.
You've got to start off each day with a song.
I'll sing it, boy.
Now, even when things go wrong, why, you feel better, you even look better. Won't you tell me when we will meet again? Sunday, Monday. Ah, what a romantic voice. The ushers will now pass out pencils for those who wish to write me mash notes.
Oh, Jimmy, how does it feel to be back in California? Huh?
Colossal, stupendous.
It does.
Where else can you sit on your sun porch with hip boots on and throw snowballs at the Chamber of Commerce?
Lots of support, Nat. I bet Umbriago is glad to see you back.
Don't mention that character to me. While I was gone, I loaned that Umbriago my car, and what did he do? He ruined it by driving with the top down.
But that's silly, Jimmy. How could that ruin your car?
How? My car's not a convertible. Sometimes I think that Umbriago's got a soft top. And to make matters worse, I rushed over to my ration board to get my new gas coupons. And what do you think those guys gave me? A T-book.
A T-book? What's wrong with a T-book?
Those little bags keep clogging up my gas line. But that is neither black tea, green tea, nor LSMFT. Junior, what an occurrence I had occur to me the other day.
What's that?
I was sitting in a restaurant being served by a midget waiter. You see, I was having a shrimp salad. When who should sit down next to me but my old friend, the ambassador from Mexico.
Uh-huh, the ambassador from Mexico.
No, he couldn't make it. Anyway, to show the ambassador what a good neighbor I was, I ordered a glass of tequila. You know, that's Mexican 7-Up.
What do you mean, Mexican 7-Up?
One tequila and it takes 7 guys to hold you up. Durante, you're a Mexican character. Then he said to me, Durante, the Mexican government wants someone to come down to promote Pan-American relations. Being the American that is most panned by his relations, I accepted the portfolio, and I was off to Mexico before you could say saludos avocados.
Saludos avocados. Oh, great. I bet you got along just fine with that broken-down Spanish of yours.
Not so fast, my hasty mañana. I learned to speak Spanish while making love to a lady bus driver. I said to her, darling, will you kiss me? She looked at my deep blue eyes and said, todo faro, señor, están en la cienega.
What does that mean in English?
Kindly step to the rear of the bus. Well, anyway, arriving in Mexico City, the population greeted me effusively.
Effusively?
Yes, I'll spell that for you, but the studio closes at 12. Anyway, they greeted me effusively, and then the newspapers took a picture of me receiving the key to the city. What a commotion that caused.
Oh, was everyone excited?
Yes. In 24 hours, every girl over 21 had changed the lock on her door. You know, Gary, I believe in the old saying, when in Rome, do as the Romanians do. In Mexico, all the big shots have an L in front of their names, like El Señor, El Matador, and El Capitan. Wanting to sound important, I put an L in front of my name.
El Durante. See, that's very diplomatic. Jimmy, how did it work out?
Terrible. Everywhere I went, people kept saying, make Durante get the L out. That's the conditions that prevail.
I take it then, Jimmy, that your mission to Mexico wasn't a success.
On the contrary, Junior, the Mexican people were so impressed with my achievements, they gave me squatter's rights to 10,000 acres of land. Unfortunately, it was all covered with cactus.
Covered with cactus?
Yes, that's why I didn't exercise my squatter's rights. I'll take it, Junior. This may be trivial.
Very well.
Hello, Umbriago? What are you doing in Mexico? Oh, sure, I can fix you up with a date. Now, here's what you do. Go to 47 Concani Plaza, ring the bell, and ask for Rosita.
And let me tell you something. That Rosita is very, very gorgeous adobe. Goodbye and adios.
Jimmy, you made a mistake. An adobe isn't a woman. It's a brick house.
That's the way Umbriago likes his women built.
Umbriago. Jimmy, sometimes I think he has the brain of a low-grade moron.
That's true, Junior, but I only lend it to him on special occasions.
Well, Jimmy, Mexico is famous for its bullfights. Did you get a chance to see any while you were down there?
What a question. Why, on my last day there, I was the guest matador at the bullfight. You should have seen me. I walked into the ring, the bull walked into the ring. I looked at the bull looked at me. Suddenly he charged. But instead of dodging, I nonchalantly turned my back to him.
You mean you deliberately turned your back to the bull?
Yes, Junior. Do you know a cheaper way to get back to California? Now you know that you can't go wrong. Why, if you start off the day with a song.
Roy Bargy and the orchestra now in a Roy Bargy arrangement of Liza.
Junior, how I love that song, Liza. I know it was before your time, Junior, but I introduced that song in Ziegfeld's Showgirl in 1929.
1921. Wasn't that the year the bottom dropped out of the stock market?
Yes, but there was no connection between the two calamities. But never mind my childhood. What's the topic of your talk tonight?
Well, Jimmy, despite the current high cost of living, there's one commodity that remains as cheap as ever.
What's that?
The long-distance telephone call. Why, do you realize that for only $3 you could pick up this phone and call your Uncle Bill in Washington, D.C.?
I could. That's marvelous.
What's marvelous about it?
My uncle's name is Charlie, lives in Cincinnati, and besides, he ain't even got a phone.
Well, Jimmy, $3 is a small sum for that service, but there's just one trouble. Nowadays, everybody has the money to make long-distance calls, but few of us have the patience. The other day, I had the occasion to call the FBI in Washington, and the conversation went something like this. We'll start. Hello. Hello, yo. Hello, operator. Hello, yo, operator.
Are you calling a number or just chinning yourself on that hook?
Operator, I'm very sorry. Look, I'd like to have the FBI in Washington, D.C. The number is National 1940.
Thank you. National 1490. Yeah.
No, operator. 1940.
Thank you. National 1904.
Yeah. No, operator. It's National 1940. Oh.
Pardon me, kid. Are you in pain?
Look, operator, just try to follow me, will you? I want National 1940. That's the FBI, you see. That's the G-men who put the crooks in jail.
Where?
In jail. Jail. Where will you find all the crooks?
Oh, the crooks. One moment, please.
Hello, City Hall.
Oh, go stuff your ballot box. Hello. Hello, operator. Operator, I want to talk to Washington.
One moment, please.
Hello, Happy Land Asylum. Who do you want? Napoleon, Julius Caesar, Frank Sinatra? You name them, we got them.
Frank Sinatra? Listen, I'm calling Washington.
Oh, I'm so sorry. George Washington is busy fixing his Buck Rogers pistol. Tell me, would you like to talk to Martha?
Don't bother. She's probably playing gin rummy with Betsy Ross. Operator, listen, I haven't got the time for all this monkey business. Do you understand? I haven't got the time.
When you hear the signal, the time will be 7:15 and 1/4.
Her watch must have dishpan hands. Hello? Hello?
I'm sorry, sir. Your party's being disconnected.
Disconnected? It sounds like he went all to pieces. Listen, operator, I'm serious now. I'm begging you. Will you please get me long distance? I'll bet I could get Africa quicker than you could get Washington.
Hello? Cape Town, South Africa speaking.
Look, I didn't ask for Cape Town. I want long distance.
Brother, you sure got it.
Operator, you know what happened? I just had Africa on this telephone. What do you think I am, crazy?
I'm sorry. I do not have that information.
All right, operator. All right. Let's try to start all over again. The number, if you'll recall, the number is National 1940. Remember?
I think I've got it. All except the last part. 19 what?
40. 40. Where does life begin?
One moment, please.
Hello, maternity hospital.
Operator.
Yes, sir?
Look, cancel that call to Washington and get me Robert Ripley instead.
Robert Ripley? Why? Has something unusual happened?
What do you think? First I have a battleship, now I'm having a baby. While we're in this quiet and gentle mood, we might as well maintain same by calling on her nibs, Miss Gibbs. What's new tonight, Georgia?
Well, it's a funny thing, Gary. You know, the boys in Tin Pan Alley seem happiest when they've got something to cry about.
Yeah.
Take, for instance, this beautiful new ballad with a very sad lyric called I Should Care.
Georgia Gibbs, ladies and gentlemen.
I should go around weeping. I should care. I should go without sleeping. Strangely enough, I sleep well, except for a dream or two. But then I count my sheep well. Funny how sheep can lull you to sleep. So I should let it upset me. Doesn't get me. Maybe I won't find someone as lovely as you. But I should care, and I do. I should should let it upset me. Doesn't get me. Maybe I won't find someone as lovely as you. But I should care, and I do.
Saga of the Hills, end title.
The Hillbilly was a bottle baby, or he was too small to drink from the jug. Now, Jimmy, in tonight's play, you and I are hillbillies. You and I play twin brothers.
You and me twin brothers? Our mother must have had a delayed sense of timing.
Well, Jimmy, in this play, our family is having a feud with a family across the hill. But the unusual part of this feud is that all the shooting takes place before 9 o'clock in the morning.
How come it's so early, Junior?
Well, you see, it's a breakfast feud.
That's my boy who said that.
Come on, let's get to our cabin up in them Nar Hills.
Indubitably. Say, Brother Ruth.
What is it, Brother Reeve?
Roll me over my left side, will you?
But, Reeve, for 30 years you've been lying there on your right side. How come you want to change to the left?
I don't know, just restless, I guess.
Dang me if you ain't the laziest varmint I ever did see.
I may be a lazy varmint, but I ain't sloppy. Look at you, Roof. You got egg all over your chin.
Egg? Is it near my mouth?
No.
Then the heck with it. Say, Rafe, do me a favor, will you? Hand me the jug.
I wouldn't drink that stuff if I were you, partner. It's mighty powerful. See my front teeth?
No.
Well, the second drink is even stronger. You know, Ruth, I've been just thinking us McSwamps have been fooding with them McGinty's for 20 years, and you ain't a shot of one of them.
Well, tain't my fault. I lost the ramrod from a squirrel gun.
Lost the ramrod for your squirrel gun? That's tough.
You said it. It's pretty messy stuffing them squirrels down the gun by hand.
I got a hole in my head. I got a hole in my head, I tell you. Do you hear me? I got a hole in my head!
Who are you?
Oh, just a little brown jug.
Now, there's a guy whose parents never had any children.
Wait a minute, Rafe. I think I see three of them consarn McGinty's are coming up the hill. Hand me your gun.
Okay, but they're starting to run away. Let them have it, Ruth.
Oh!
Next time, you better aim a little higher, Ruth.
Concern this feud, it's getting on my nerves.
Oh, but see, an idea just struck me how to end it.
How?
Well, you know, old man McGinty's got two daughters, Hepzibah and Petzibah. Now, the whole feud would be over if we was to marry up with them gals.
Are you sure they're our type of women?
Just our type. One's fat and t'other's stupid.
That's okay with me. You see, Ruth, I'd go for fat women.
You do, huh?
Yeah, when the lights go out, I like a woman you can locate in the dark. I love that hillbilly carrying on. Well, let's get cleaned up and go a-courting. You'll find a whole cake of soap in the cabin.
No, I won't. The label said to use half of the soap in the kitchen and half in the bathroom. So I had to send back half of that cake.
You mean?
Yep. No kitchen. Let's get going, shall we?
Well, we're almost there, Roof. Look. There's the McGinty girls at the bottom of the hill.
The hill, you say?
Watch your language, Roof. There may be city folks a-listening.
Leave the ghost at Hepzibah. Look who's coming up the walk. It's them two McSwamp boys we're a-feuding with.
And us alone in the cabin. Where's my gun?
Oh, no, Hepzibah, no.
What are you stopping me for? Them McSwamps, ain't they?
Well, what are you shooting them for? They're men, ain't they?
Well, howdy, gals. Ain't you Hepzibah and Pepzibah?
Oh, we sure are. And ain't you Roof and Rafe?
Well, we ain't Riff and Raff. That remark may not be so clever, but don't forget, I'm just a hillbilly.
Gals, we come over here to end the feud between our two families. We all want to marry up with you all.
Nothing doing. Pa's mad at you. Every time we hang our wash on the line, that dog of yourn keeps jumping into Pa's long underwear.
Well, he can't help it. He's confused.
Confused?
Yep, his doghouse has swinging doors, too.
Listen, Junior, forget the dogs. Forget the dog, gals. Me and Ruth are fixing to end the feud by marrying up with you.
Marry? Oh, just think. In a year or two or three, maybe we'll hear the patter of little feet running around our cabin.
What, just feet? No babies?
Well, let's go, gals. It's all settled. We'll drive to town and get us married.
Now, wait a minute. Before we all get hitched, let's celebrate with a drink out of Paul's still.
You be careful of that still, Pepzibah. You know how dangerous it is.
Oh, it ain't neither. I'll pour the drink.
Land of Goshen, it blew them gals clean out through the roof.
How do you like that? We ain't even married yet, and already they started going out without us.
Mr. Durant.
A note of joy, Mr. Moore. You know, Gary, yesterday the mailman came around to my house and blew his whistle.
Oh, did you get any letters?
Did I get any letters? I got a million of them. But you fellas in the Army and Navy Marines and Coast Guards, too, keep on writing those letters. Like I said, I got a million of them. But I want 2 million. Junior, tell them where to write.
All right, just address Jimmy Durante or Gary Moore, care of the Armed Forces Radio Service, Los Angeles, USA. We'll be waiting for him.
That's my boy who said that. Who will be with you when we're far away?
Good night, Mr. Durante.
Good night, Mr. Moore.
Good night, guys.
Good night, fellas.
Listen to the Comedy Caravan next week when once again we'll bring you the music of Roy Bargy and his orchestra, songs by Georgia Gibbs, and laughs by
Jimmy Durante
and Gary Moore.
In person.
This is Howard Petrie saying we'll see you then.
This is the Armed Forces Radio Service.